Have you ever tried to get out the door with an infant? I mean, you've got the diapers and the formula, the wipes and the toys and all the paraphernalia that goes with it. About 20 years ago, just before 9/11, our oldest was born. We were living in Japan at the time, and we were supposed to leave Japan on September, I think it was, like the 15th. Well, all the air traffic was canceled. And so our plans to bring our new son home to visit grandparents and all was postponed indefinitely. About a week later, we get a call from the airline saying air travel is back open. If you can be at the airport in 3 hours, we lived about 2 hours from the airport, we can check you in. In about an hour, hour and a half, my wife and I packed for a four-week international newborn trip and made it to the airport in time. I don't want to brag, but I'm an expert packer. My wife is an expert packer. Over the course of my life, I've been able to travel and be a part of missions and efforts. While we lived in Japan, and then when we came back to the States, I was a part of a missions team that was pretty robust. And over the course of a few short years, I earned enough points or miles to be able to take my entire family back to Japan. I got four free international tickets just because of the miles and the travel that we did. I believe I'm an expert packer. Except for the time when I got on a trip and I forgot the charger to my computer. The time when I went to visit a missionary and I forgot the gift that I was supposed to be bringing. And maybe like you, I've been on several trips where a hairbrush or a toothbrush or the socks or something was left behind. Other than that, I'm an expert packer. Well, other than the time that, you see, every year at the end of school, I would take my four boys and we'd go camping. Give Kara this one chance just to be a lady without any boys around. And in the haste, I came home that afternoon. We packed up the car and threw everything in. And instead of grabbing the tent, I grabbed the dining canopy and off we go. Other than that, I'm an expert packer. Well, other than oftentimes, do you ever do this where you pack and by the time you finish your trip, you come home and there's a whole section of your suitcase that still has some untouched, clean clothes. Somehow we were mentally preparing for the clothes that we're going to need after we get home. We just carried them around with us. Do you ever carry more than you need to when you take trips? I'm seeing a couple heads nod, and maybe we all have a little bit of extra baggage that we take with us. This morning, I want to talk to you, and I want to talk seriously about the baggage that we carry in our life. Last week, we looked again at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. Now, we're not talking about getting to the NBA. We're not talking about getting that promotion that is so far beyond us. We're talking about what God really wants to do with his kingdom. Now to him who is able to do far more than we could imagine what could be done with his kingdom. The power that is at work within us, to him be the glory. The church and in Christ Jesus now and forever and evermore. And the church says, amen. But we carry some baggage, don't we? There's some things in our lives that make it a little bit difficult to really put our arms around, two-handed arm around this truth, because we're dragging around the clothes that we're going to need way after the trip. We are forgetting to do something that is important in this moment. Last week we were talking about really the idea that God is not this gracious, as Paul writes. But God is really a God who just is fixed on destroying. In fact, some of us look to the Old Testament for the stories of people who have sinned so bad and messed things up that God just had to start over. You look at Noah, and what a great example of God's wrath and destruction. You see Adam and Eve, and where she literally ate them out of house and home, some might joke. And God, it was so quick they might see, to see the judgment and the wrath. The Tower of Babel, that their pride brought confusion and separation. Sodom and Gomorrah, God just wipes those two places right off the map. And we see the wrath and the judgment of God far more than we see the continual love and deliverance and grace of God. Sometimes we don't even see the balance. It is just so far to the other side. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 32, "For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live." And when Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I wonder if we hear what God is saying, and yet we continue to drag around our own baggage. I want to share with you a couple things that I've seen in my experience, maybe in my own life, or maybe in some of the conversations that I've had. Seven reasons why some people will think that God can do these great things, but not really in my life. Sure, God could do this in biblical times, but not in our day and time. Sure, God could do that with you because you are a super Christian, but me, I'm not so much. You've been a Christian long, and I just started. Listen to some of these. I want you to write these down. If you got your bulletins, grab a hold of these and write these down, because I know that there are some people right now in the aisle that you're in or in this room right now watching us online who have baggage that is preventing them from hearing what God really says as this great truth. I want you to hear some of these things. Maybe they're in your life or in those that are around you. "I shouldn't need anything more. God can't help me. God shouldn't help me because I shouldn't need anything more. After all that he's done, as we look at the plentiful place in which we live, as we look at the opportunities that are around us, as we look at the grace and the mercy and all the things that God has given to us, I really shouldn't need anything more. I've asked for help too often." Have you ever felt that way when you go to God? That one time after another, it just seems that that's all you are doing is, "God, please help me in this situation. God, please grant me a reprieve from this difficult moment. God, 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 God." And we know in our minds, let me put that in air quotes, we know in our minds that we've asked too much of God, and now he somehow has run out of opportunity for us. "There are people who are more deserving than me." Wow. Think about the news of those that were faithful Christ followers currently in Afghanistan who are standing for their faith. Yet sometimes when I find the peer pressure just a little bit too strong on social media, I back down. Oh, man. "There are people who are more deserving than me. God is going to bless them. God is going to be at work in their lives, but not mine," somehow I might think. "Or I have messed up far too many times. I've asked way too much. And then when he gives, when he grants, when he blesses, I take those gifts and those blessings and I misuse them. I redirect them. I take hold of my own selfish desires. The things that I know I shouldn't do, I go ahead and do. And I've done them over and over and over again. And I know God is just sick and tired of watching this failure happen time and time again. I messed up. My track record is terrible. But maybe the way that I messed up, it's not just the amount, it's the way that I've messed up. It's just so far beyond being saved or helped. It's confusing to the people that are around me. No one has any logical, sane advice for how I'm supposed to get out of this. My marriage, my relationship, my second marriage, my third marriage, my children, the divisions, the stepchildren, all of these things are at odds, and I don't have any idea. I'm sure God could help if I would have listened way back then, but not now that it's so complicated. How many times have we thought these thoughts in our mind? God can't help me because the rest is up to me. God has already done the big heavy lifting, and now if it's to be, it's got to be me, right? I'm the one who is on the line here. I'm the one who's going to be responsible. I am. And we see ourselves in a place of significance, but we feel insignificantly prepared for that moment. And sometimes I hear, God can't help me because there isn't enough time. Sure, if I would have turned my life over to Him back when I was beginning this situation, back when the problem first started to show or present, back when I was a kid, I could have changed. But now that I've lived this way, I'm so stuck in my ways. I'm so stuck in the routine. I'm too far gone. There's no sense in changing my life now that I'm so close to this finish line. God can't help me because there's not enough time left in my life. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. The work that is in empowering us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen. I wonder if we could lay our baggage down long enough to hear what God is really saying, what He's really calling us to do. I know that I'm speaking to a good majority of believers. They see the unseen. You want to be a Christ follower, but we still have our baggage, don't we? We wrestle with some of these wrong, ungodly beliefs that God can't help me in this situation until somehow I do all the work, unless I go back in time, unless I fix it. And that's not the message of the gospel at all. Now to Him who is able, to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we asked or imagined, our world is holding us down. The baggage that we have is making us late for our flight. The way that we live our lives is complicating our relationship with God. It is not viable and right. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, lay down your baggage. Give it up. That thinking is not right. It's not good. It's not drawing you any closer. Imagine a father and a son sit down for dinner. And the son has brought his extra baggage to the table. Whatever the issue is between these two individuals, it's right there in the middle of the meal. The son is so burdened with his baggage that he demands now, I've got to leave. I can't stay in this oppressive state. And he brings this baggage in front of his father and he demands, Father, give me all that I am due. Give me my inheritance. You know this biblical story in Matthew chapter 15. We call it the prodigal son. And this relationship is divided. The son leaves with what is supposed to be a gift, a blessing, and he uses it and he squanders it. And over again, you can hear these thoughts lived out in the son's life. I shouldn't need anything more after all that my father has done for me. I've asked for help, maybe a little bit too often. Maybe the son, as he's living off in this now squalor, as he's given away all of his resources, as he finds himself in such a difficult situation, he thinks, there are people that are more deserving than me of my father's help. He probably can recount those dinners, those conversations, those nights where he knows his dad was waiting out on the front porch for him to return. And he knows that he has messed up at least one too many times. Maybe he understands that the way that he messed up is far too complicated. He's now living far off in another land. He has ruined the family as a major portion of their financial stability. He has ruined the family name. He has ruined his future and his opportunities. And whatever situation he's in, he doesn't see any way out, and he knows that it's just far too complicated. Maybe he sits there knowing that if he works hard at this pig feeding job, he might get a better job as a shepherd. He might then build up and walk up this corporate ladder so that he's able to finally earn a little bit of income, get a tent of his own, make a name for himself that is profitable and wise and golden. And then he'll come home and he'll show his dad, see, I really didn't mess up. And somehow he's got to do this. Maybe he understands that there's not enough time. Maybe if he would have listened to some of the first things that his dad said, all of this could have been avoided, but now that he's here, there's no turning back. But I believe this young man, as he has gone through the difficult cycle, the downward spiral of his choices and his life, finds himself in this pit of despair, only to begin to process what Paul is saying. I want you to hear a couple things that are important for us. The prodigal son will hear this word now. Now. See, we skim over because we're not in a situation where it's life or death. We skim over that word because we know we've got a variety of choices, and now or then is not a life or death. It's not crucial to us, but now, to him who is able, this very moment, he recognizes that if he waits just one more minute, if he sleeps this off for one more day, if he hesitates, he'll be in the same spiral once again. And who knows when he'll come to this rational thought again. And so now is the day of action. And now he takes motion in his life. I want to ask you if you've ever heard any of those excuses, that baggage that we talked about just a moment ago. Will you carry it around for another day, another cycle? Or will you lay it down now? Why do you want to live one more day without the full appreciation and relationship of our Heavenly Father? Now he hears. Greater than I could imagine. You know the son is thinking that if I could just get back home, if I can just be a worker for my dad, I will take the bottom rung. I will do this job in my father's house because I know that this job right here would be so much better even in my dad's house than it is right now. And he has no way of fathoming the grace and the mercy, the love that the Father will bestow on him. And so as he makes that journey, as he takes those steps right now, his only hope is for here in life. But we know that God doesn't leave us here. He bestows, he shares, he gives us so much grace. As Roger was saying, he calls us his children. He lavishes us now. At this very moment, why do you want to stay in this difficult place? Get up and move. Ask for forgiveness. Drop the baggage. Believe what Paul is saying. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Can't you believe in some great things? Can't you believe in a better day coming? Can't you see something good in front of us? God is saying, I can do something even better than that. And I think the third thing that the prodigal son hears is this idea that his power is at work within us. He's not going home to show his father what a man that he has become. He's going home because the father that's inside of him is pulling him back. He hears his father's words. We're still going to be family. I still love you. I wish you weren't going this direction, but if you do, please come back. He's being drawn home by the Father's love. Each step he takes, he knows that the Father is going to be there. And I wonder, in our life, do we believe God is at work in this moment right now? And we hesitate sometimes. The prodigal son took action now, because he could see something even greater. And what was going on was his father still at work inside. Now he leaves his baggage and he goes home. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 13, Jesus says, "But go and learn what it means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinner." In James chapter 4, verse 8, "Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts." And listen to what he says, "you double-minded." You believe what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 3, that he's able to do these things, but you're also holding on to your own baggage that God's not really able to do it in my life. God's able to do it in your life. God's able to do it somewhere else. God's able to do it for these people or those people or in these situations or these past times, but not in my life. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory, the church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. And James says, "Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." I want to challenge us today to be men and women of conviction, who understand that we have been holding on to some improper, poor ways of thinking about our relationship with God. Let me ask you, what can you imagine in your life right now? Can you imagine? Can you dream of forgiveness? There's some relationships that are happening in your life right now. A father to a child to a father, a co-worker to a boss, a husband to a wife to a child, whatever the situation is there a relationship that needs forgiveness? How about your relationship with God? Have you neglected him far too long? Have you not believed the power that he puts into his word? Have you lived as your own power? Have you gone to squander all that he has given only to make a mess of your life or see the direction of your life is heading towards destruction? Can you dream of forgiveness? Do you wish for help? Do you wish for help? If we could all raise our hands, how many of us would want another hour in the day just to get a few more things done? Just another hour in the day to get a little bit of rest from the weariness of life? How many of us would want just somebody to come along and be an assistant who would remind us, who would help us, who would finish some of the tasks where we're unable to check those things off as we go through our day? How many of us want just a little bit more help? How many of us look at our world and we throw our hands up in the air because I don't know how we're supposed to fix some of the things that are going on in our world? God, if you would just give us a little bit of help, give us a little bit of insight, just drop a plan on how we're supposed to help those who are impoverished or who are without parents of love and care. God, help us understand how we're supposed to deal with these places around the world that want to mistreat us and hurt us. God, help us. How many times do we pray for this? Do you see an opportunity for change? See, all these things draw our attention that God is not done with us, that we are being moved and being transformed into something different. He's asking us, he's calling for us to ask for forgiveness, to bring redemption into this world. He's bringing an opportunity for help and assistance and guidance. That power that is at work within us is the same power that brought Jesus up out of the grave. It is a mighty work. You see the opportunities for change. We could talk about the world that we really live in. Are we satisfied with where things are? Is our neighborhood really what we want it to be? Is our home exactly as it should be? Are we not calling on the name of the Lord for some change and some opportunity to change? God, let me see an insight into this company work that's going on, that's going in the wrong direction. Let me be a light. Give me the words. Give me the situation in which I can steer this away from the difficulties and the destruction that's coming. And do you desire relief? These four questions really point to our heart. These answers remind us that we are carrying baggage. And for some of us, we've carried that baggage way too long. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus forever and evermore. I want you to imagine that father and son sitting down for dinner one more time. One or both bring their baggage to the table. And in a moment of drawing the walls down, they lay their baggage before the other, offering to believe that God is at work to bring change and redemption in their lives. The love and unity that would be shared at that moment is what God desires for us and our relationships here on earth. But now imagine that father and son getting up and leaving the table, getting ready to walk out of the restaurant when the waiter comes to them and says, "Your bill has already been paid." It wasn't the father who paid it. It wasn't the son who paid it. But it was someone else. We live in a world right now in which the baggage that we carry is to our own detriment. God has already promised the good and the blessings to come. And when we lay down our baggage, we see even more of the gift and the grace of our Heavenly Father. I want to encourage you today, don't walk out of this room carrying your baggage anymore. Pull one of our shepherds aside. Let them know that you have been living in doubt and fear. You've been trying to walk this path alone without the Spirit's work and power in your life. I want you to share with your church family your desire to live a life of power and purpose, as Paul has said. I want us to be transformed in a way that becomes a light to our dark community. Or you can walk out with your baggage because you probably forgot something or you're carrying way too much. Truly, there is no expert packer in this type of trip except Jesus Christ. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. His power is at work within us. The glory will be for the church and in Christ throughout all generations, even in this most difficult time that we live. Forever and ever. Amen. Let's stand together and sing this song.
Lord, take my life. May